All right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are once again talking about MTV's The Challenge. And if my voice sounds unfamiliar to you, that is actually completely understandable in these circumstances. My name is Colin. I'm normally talking about Survivor around these parts, and Matt Liguori and Brian Scally, who are here with me today, have been doing an excellent job all season long keeping you guys going on The Challenge. But I'm a big fan of that show as well, so I am here today to come in now that we've seen the first, I think, six episodes of War of the Worlds 2 play out, check back in with these two guys, and hopefully have some fun while we're at it along the way. Always a good time talking to you guys. I guess let's first bring in Matt Liguori. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. I feel like we're not too far off from a future where maybe the Survivor podcast, you just dump off on Dom and just come hang out with us every week because you never stop talking about how much you love this show, and the Survivor podcast haven't had that same sentiment lately.
I am so I began this week's patron episode by expressing this sentiment, and I will express it here as well. I'm so glad to be in on any podcast not talking about Modern Survivor right now. So definitely been looking forward to this. Scally, how are you?
I'm good. It's nice to hear you and Dom back on your own podcast network, but excited to be talking about The Challenge. Really good episode 5, pretty good episode 6. Enjoying the season so far.
Yeah, I have been enjoying the season so far as well. I don't want to start off on what may sound like a negative note. Just the one concern I've had is, and this is my own fault for not taking the time to watch the other shows they've been on that I have ample opportunity to see, but I'm still having a bit of a hang up on getting really invested in many of these British people. But I wanted to check in on what you guys think of the way this format of the season has been playing out so far, because I really don't think it's the British people's fault. I thought adding in all the British people last season worked tremendously well, and that may have ended up being genuinely like my favorite season in the history of The Challenge. Scally, what do you think about the way that dynamic is playing out this time?
Okay, so I know I was a little bit higher on the team format coming into this season than most people. I know, Colin, you were down on it personally, so I'm glad to hear that you've been enjoying it at least so far. In terms of Team UK, I think I don't know if it's a little bit of a weaker rookie cast than we had last time, or just looking at the confessional counts, which I'll bring up later in the episode, some of those rookies, you know, really haven't gotten to speak too much to this point. So I just feel like we're less invested. We don't know them very well. I as well have not. I mean, sorry, I haven't watched Survival of the Fittest UK or Shipwreck, but I'm concerned, but at the same point, I look at the challenge a little bit differently, where I know everyone is concerned we've lost three major players, but we're going to have a season 35, we're going to have a season 36, they'll be back. So on every other show, I'm rooting for, like, keep around the biggest impact players, no matter, like, how much, if they're getting too much screen time, if they're getting not enough screen time, but we're going to get Bananas back next season for sure. And then Wes, Laurel, they're going to be back. So I will take the season of building up these new characters so that we have a stronger overall cast for the future.
Definitely a fair point there. And I would say, based on these first six episodes, I would say three of them, the ones where we lost Wes, Laurel, and Bananas, were really elite episodes of reality TV. It's just the other three, episodes 1, 2, and 6, when it was British people in the eliminations against other British people, it felt to me a lot like watching the fans tribe go to a tribal council early on in like a fans versus favorites season of Survivor, where all I want to see is what's happening over on the favorites team.
Yeah, so I've been waiting. I've been thinking about the format of the season more in the past like week or so than I did earlier on, because earlier on, we've been talking about how Scally wanted a team format back so bad, and we finally got it. This is cool. Since I've been watching the show, consistently, I have never seen a season play out with teams, watching it live. The team seasons, I watch those all back. And now I'm kind of starting to wonder if, or not wonder, but I'm starting to realize the reason they don't do team challenges anymore is because it's like, just imagine we stayed in tribes on Survivor for the entire season. Like, the most interesting part of the season usually is when they merge and all the players are, it's a free for all. Everybody can play for themselves. So the format with the teams going on here is just, everybody is just turning against their own teams. They're just, they cannot hold back. They have no self-control. Everybody wants to get out the players that they know don't have their back, the players that they know are coming for them. And it's just, like, people, the producers and the people who make the show had to know that this was coming. They have to know that this is why, maybe this is why they don't do team challenges as much anymore. I think a lot of fans have been pushing for it for a while, you know, one even on this panel. But the fact is that they're not taking the teams into consideration, the players I'm talking about. They're all going to keep coming for anybody who's gunning for them, and it doesn't matter if it's on my team or on the other team. So at the end of the day, I think they're probably not going to stick with this format in the coming seasons. And I think they're going to point to a season like this to say, yeah, we had a couple of fun episodes, but we're losing big characters early on in the show because nobody can control themselves.
We had a couple of fun episodes because people treated the team portion like a purely individual portion and got really bold with the decisions that they ended up making. I don't know how much they try to forecast the way the dynamics will play out, like when they're brainstorming, okay, we'll split them into a US big team and a UK big team. Are they saying to themselves, this is going to be a situation where Wes and Bananas are going at it right away again, and we're going to potentially lose some heavy hitters right off the bat? Because I would guess that even in their wildest dreams, they would have a hard time seeing that streak of three episodes in a row where we lost such enormous power players coming. So I'm going to be really curious to see the direction that not only this season ends up taking, like if and when they end up splitting into individuals, but also just the future of big team challenges on this show overall. I don't think this has been certainly anything close to a failure, but I am guessing it has at least at certain points thrown the producers for a loop. And Scally, I'm curious now, having seen this play out at this hour, if you were told three seasons from now we're going to do another big team challenge, is that something you would actively want?
I don't know if it's something I actively want. I'd probably want, if you're saying we're going to have a team challenge, I'd probably want something more like at least cutthroat, where there's three teams, four teams, etc. But while I've been pushing for the big team challenge, I'm not pushing for every season to go back to a big team challenge. So let's not, you know, confuse that. I definitely, you know, next season you want to throw me dual three, free agents two, like fully in on that. I just don't see that necessarily happening. I'm also not convinced. Maybe they're going to run this final in teams. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's going to individuals. And that's, I think, in the minds of all the players as we're watching them turn against each other, is this is probably going to go individual at some point, just like a War of the Worlds one. So I am not going to look out for these people who may or may not be on my team in a few weeks.
I also wanted to ask, and this is particularly inspired by the crazy circumstances that we saw play out at the end of episode 4, where Laurel thinks she's won, and then it turns out she was missing one of the poles, one of the holes to put her post in, and just kind of made up the very end of the challenge to make it look like she'd won, which I thought was very good. I know you guys talked about this on your episode 4 recap, but that whole sequence was, apart from maybe a couple episodes of Survivor Maryland, the closest I've felt to watching The Genius again, like having the rug pulled out from under me to that extent. And at least that leaves me obviously those are crazy circumstances. But overall, I guess the point I'm getting at is, despite not super loving the format, I do think they've done a very good job with the editing and the overall storytelling, particularly during that streak of craziness going through Wes, Laurel, and Bananas. Liguori, what do you think about the way that, if there's even been a noticeable change in your mind, they've gone about telling the stories this season?
No, there definitely has. They're playing with things a little bit more, and I appreciate that. I know that, you know, obviously you picked up on that, and it's just it's a welcomed change, because sometimes you go into, whether it's just the episode, like the whole episode, or just the elimination, you can kind of tell what's going to happen. I have to say, I don't know if I'm the best person to speak on these couple of episodes in particular, just because for full transparency, I don't know if you guys remember this, back in it was like a couple of weeks after the season started filming, we did our draft like super early so that nobody could get spoiled, and then I had messaged you guys all like a couple of weeks into filming, and I was like, please tell me like somebody else follows MTV on social media and they see something that looks like a little weird right now. And I think like nobody had looked at it. Haley might have looked at it, because that's Haley for you. But what MTV ended up posting, it was like the MTV Music Awards or something, and they had three guests in attendance that I thought were currently filming a season of The Challenge. Turns out they weren't, and they were posting about it on Instagram, those being Wes, Laurel, and Johnny Bananas.
Wow.
So that was what was going on at the time, and I'm looking at that like, that can't be real because they're not there. Maybe these are like old pictures of them on the show. I was like, they wouldn't blatantly post that, knowing that like most of their audience knows that these guys are currently filming a season. It was confusing, and I was just trying to put it out of my head. Last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, when I saw, you know, Wes goes first, and I'm thinking like, oh, this isn't good. Didn't really like put too much thought into it or whatever. Then the next week I see that Laurel's in trouble. I'm like, shit, this is 100%, you know, I can't forget this now. So going into this, I didn't know if it was this week or next week or whatever, but I just had a feeling that Bananas wasn't going to make it as well, considering all three of those guys were currently were posted by MTV on their official Instagram and Twitter that they were at these stupid awards. And that was the most annoying part of this entire experience for this season for me so far. So it's hard to, I guess, pay attention to the editing as much when you think you might know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I remember you mentioning that months ago, and I remember me not wanting to look into it. But yeah, that would definitely have horrified me as well, watching Wes and Laurel go in episode 3 and 4. It would have felt like just a matter of time before Bananas ended up going himself. And forgive me, because it's been a little while since I've been in here talking about The Challenge, but I'm kind of conflicted about losing so many of the iconic players early on, just because I do think they were probably relying on them to carry a lot more of this season when they were casting so many British people. I think that was with the assumption that there are going to be a lot of very familiar American faces that we can rely on to keep the audience engaged and keep the story moving. And I'm certainly not trying to say I'm now hopeless about the way the season can go from here without those three. But Scally, I thought you made an interesting point in just our private discussion group chat about this show as all of that was happening. And it ties in actually to something you were saying before about how just the mere knowledge that this is The Challenge, this isn't Survivor, these are people we're definitely going to see again if they're interested in playing, and this, if anything, could just be lighting a fire under them to stay on the show for even longer. And furthermore, and I loved this point, there is no way that Wes or Laurel is going to be interested in ending their career on this note. So if anything, it's almost guaranteeing us more of them.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like LaGoria, it was completely unavoidable to see that Bananas, I think he ran up on stage at the VMAs, that was this one, right? And so yeah. I had known it, but I'm dumb, I completely forgot about it, so out of my mind, did not know it was coming, still shocked. So I remember being annoyed at the time, completely forgot. But as far as losing them early, I mean, Laurel's the one that upset me the most, because she took so long off and she was, you know, a complete psychopath this season. So whereas Bananas, with last season, the season before, like even this season, we weren't really getting that much from him. Surprisingly, he somehow had 38 confessionals this season, though, even though I feel like he's been completely invisible for the majority of it. So I don't know really what he was going to bring. Maybe it'll be more exciting for when he's, you know, inevitably on the next 10 more seasons. So I just, as a whole, the people that I'm most excited to see on this season are a lot of the rookies that we got last year, and that would not have happened had some of the big names not gone home early.
Yeah.
So I would like to see the same. I just don't know if I have faith in this same crop of rookies.
if anyone thought that Bananas isn't going to come back for next season and the next season and the next season, you know, you're out of your mind. But the ones that we've been talking so much about lately, you know, Laurel, Wes, Nani, just the people who have been coming back in, you know, the past couple of seasons that we haven't seen in a while, you don't know how much time you're going to get with them before they disappear again. So having Laurel and Wes both go out, you know, super early here, I was like, crap, like that's not too promising. And, but, you know, it was comforting to know, Laurel said that before she left, she's like, all right, well, that's not how my story ends. So we'll definitely see her back. I don't know if it's next season or the season after, but eventually. And Wes, you know, his whole story is like, oh, I have like 700 jobs in my real life that I manage and blah, 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 Mr. Big Shot. So, you know, he's always busy with those jobs, but he also, like, he just can't get this itch. He can't get rid of this itch to keep coming back. So he also will be back, I'm sure. I think I've said this a million times, but the great thing about this show is they always cast an entire roster full of people where somebody is going to carry the show all the way to the very end. There's somebody, you know, there's plenty of entertaining personalities. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. You know, we've always got Esther to fall back on. So what did you think of, to stick with this Bananas elimination for a little bit, because I know you guys missed last week with everything going on with the Survivor premiere and the Big Brother finale, and because you missed a week, you're now both fired, just FYI. But in terms of Bananas' performance overall this season, obviously I'm sure a major disappointment for him, but it really seemed like a team challenge surrounded by a lot of people that he had at least a decent relationship with. And obviously plenty of people who didn't love him necessarily, but I felt like this was potentially one of the best situations for Bananas to find a win in recent memory. Are we still feeling like it's going to be just a super uphill battle for Johnny Bananas every single season going forward if he can't even win in a big team setup with a lot of his best friends in the cast allegory?
Bananas is I agree with everything that you just said. I think this was the best potential cast for him this season and last season. It could not have been drawn up any better. He has his best friend in the game, a guy who is in like his 13th season of the show and is finally playing the game for the first time in Leroy, who is at the beginning of this episode. He wakes up a little bit and he's like, you know, I realize that this isn't looking so good. Bananas might be in trouble if he keeps playing the game this way. He tries to, you know, tell Bananas to kind of cool it down a little bit. Obviously, things don't end up working out because who gets into power? You know, the way that this season is formatted, if one person gets into power, the speaker gets to be exactly who it is. It's Paulie. Paulie brings in Kara, and now the two of them have the ability to make whatever decision they want to and throw in one person. And this season isn't like, you know, past seasons where you know, you used to be able to pick your opponent. So, you know, you can't even do that anymore. Now, the team is making one decision and the tribunal is making the other decision. So initially, Theo got thrown in by his team and, you know, the tribunal picks Bananas. There's nothing Bananas can do to really get out of this. But to answer your question, I do think that this is the trajectory that Bananas is going on in the future. I don't see any way where he thinks that he can improve his game to make it not exactly what it has been this season and last season. I think it's just this is where he's at. He just doesn't have the physical ability to compete with some of these rookies, and he doesn't have the political capital that he used to have where he can control other players. You know, especially when you have a relationship that is damaged as much as his and Kara seems to be, that's the connection that held him together for like the two seasons before this where he was doing decently well. But mm-hmm. Now that he's completely dropping that connection, I don't know what his plan is.
It reminds me of at like a poker table, if some unknown guy sits down and I find myself in a tough spot because he's taking some super aggressive action and I don't really know anything about him, and people in that situation will often say like, oh, if this is a close decision, I'll just err on the side of caution because if he's not an absolute psycho, my hand's probably no good here. And then after like an hour of constantly doing that to everyone, at a certain point, people are going to stop folding like any pair to that kind of guy. And I feel like Bananas spent about a decade trying to just bully and successfully bullying the Challenge House to just bend to his will for quite some time. But he is now at the point where people are so familiar with his game that they're never, ever going to give him the kind of credit he needs them to be giving him to make these kind of big, bold political moves work. And I do wonder if Bananas which I don't even think this is possible for him, and thus maybe makes this a useless thing to even speculate about, but that guy at the poker table would be very wise to just hang back at a certain point and wait for a good hand and get a lot of value, because based on what people think about him, I'm wondering, Scally, is there any merit in next time Bananas showing up and actively trying to take a back seat?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is I think there's a couple things that contributed to Bananas losing so early here. I think, first, like you said, he 100% should not be taking this leadership role. It's just putting even bigger of a target on him. There's plenty of other, like, you know, how many egos are on this U.S. team, not even, like, factoring in the U.K. team. He could have, you know, not faded into the background, but he does not have to, you know, take charge so early. Once Wes was out, they pretty much had the numbers on their team. We have the benefit of Bananas was on the Challenge Mania podcast this week and talked about how a couple things went wrong that led to him going out, because Laurel, while great, she has that notebook that she used to figure out her plans for the season, left that around unguarded, and people like Pauly used it to show Turbo and Josh and whoever, like, hey, look, it looks like Laurel and Bananas think you're in the middle, that you're not on their side, so they're going to work against you. So then it was, you know, easily shown, like, here's their exact ranking of, like, how you show up. So Bananas' game was completely exposed then. When we had the UK team actually win a challenge, you know, because Team US threw it, you had, you know, Georgia and Bear and whoever saying that they wanted to be the speaker. And also revealed is that, you know, Bananas has these good relationships with a few people on the UK team, and Bear was supposedly having the number of votes to be the speaker, and Laurel never would have been in danger in that case, was still going to be Ninja versus Kara or some configuration like that. And that's why Bananas felt so confident in throwing the challenge. Once that doesn't happen, loses an ally and pretty much screwed from there. Being that he does have these good relationships on the UK team, and they really are not going to be, you know, able to vote when his team is in a deliberation, and the format also kind of hurts him. I wonder if that can help moving forward, since so many of the new people seem to be against Wes, but it definitely needs to take the back seat in order to do well in the future.
Yeah, he has to be the star of the show for whatever reason. And I mean, not for whatever reason, because we know how Johnny Bananas is, and that's just who he is. He just has to be on screen. He has to be leading the toast at the beginning of the season and just making sure everybody knows that he's there, that he's in the room, that he's involved in the gameplay, where you have people like other stronger players, other veteran players who are the same kind of way. It's like, you know Kara's game. You know Jordan's game, even though he hasn't been on, you know, as much. You know Ashley's game. You know the people that are here. Like, they're so much smarter by doing exactly this, by sitting back and playing the game. Like, Cam knows how much of a threat Kara and Pauly are going to be, especially in a final. Or, well, okay, that's a stupid thing to say because they're on the same team this season. But, you know what those players bring. But by teaming up with them and putting smarter players together to get yourself farther in the game, you do well. But Bananas doesn't think like that. He doesn't think, let me make sure that I have Kara and Pauly on my side rather than working against them. So the first time that they have to take a shot, they are making sure that they don't lose that opportunity. So, I don't know what he's been thinking.
I don't remember who Bananas said this to, but at some point he made the comment, I am the challenge. And for new viewers who haven't seen the heyday of Banana and just have watched him get picked off early these last couple of seasons, I understand the way that probably reads. But if anyone would defensively come to the conclusion, I am almost bigger than this franchise itself, I do think it would be Bananas about 4 years ago. The question I have is if he is still the challenge. I think it may be the case that he was the challenge and is no longer the challenge and is having a hard time kind of accepting those different circumstances. Liguori, I wanted to ask you what you thought about the Pauly and Kara side, your boy Pauly, in that big decision he made where he promises, if you make me speaker, I'll send in someone from the other team 100%, and then obviously does not go through with that. Was that a borderline free roll for Pauly, or might he have to pay the piper at some point for that?
I mean, he made a deal with two people in that situation. He made a deal with Josh by saying, If you, you know, let me go through with this, I won't put anybody in on our team. And that's a deal that he's going to have to, you know, pay the price for, which, I mean, he did by, we saw the, you know, the fight between the two of them as soon as they got back from that elimination at the start of episode six. But then the other deal he made with was with Bananas. And at the end of the day, what does he owe Bananas? What does he, you know, what does that deal that was made to anybody else in the house, like, are people going to look at that and say like, oh, Paulie's not a loyal player, Paulie can't be trusted on our team because he turned on Bananas? It's like, no, it's Bananas. The relationship between those two has never been good. It's the same thing with Wes and Bananas. What are you going to take, you know, say that Wes isn't trustworthy because maybe they made a deal at the beginning of the season, which they didn't, because they didn't, and they never will for whatever reason. But no, I think that Paulie, you know, I'll keep defending him and say that he made a good move here. He had to get out a player that was going to be coming for the two of them at some point in the future. They had the shot to take it now. And Kara said it a couple times. Bananas was the best player on the UK side. That's probably an accurate statement, because when you look at it, the UK kids are not doing themselves any favors. They're not winning any challenges. And Bananas just threw a challenge to get rid of somebody on their own side. You know, at the end of the day, I think Paulie and Carr were both very justified in this choice.
Yeah, and it certainly can't hurt to increase whatever equity there may be to get Bananas as your partner on a future rivals season. Could definitely pay off down the line. But Scully, what did you end up thinking about that? Because I was potentially wondering if both sides of this American team more or less had the right idea, and it really would be potentially useful to take some early shots at people on your own team to solidify control going forward.
Yeah, I don't know if it should have been happening this frequently, but if once, you know, the floodgates are open, you really don't have a choice. Paulie, you know, as much as he could burn political capital, like, he's got, you know, a large bank. He has a lot of debt that he can build up before he's anywhere near Bananas, you know. He's not going to be even comparable to, do I trust West? Do I trust Bananas? Do I trust Paulie? Paulie generally has not proven to be, you know, that same player that the other two have been. So I don't think this was a bad move for either of them.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I really wonder if Bananas, who's played whatever it is 17 seasons now of reality competition shows that feature a social political element, is Bananas the all-time leader in lies told on reality TV?
Honestly, probably. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
He's got a decade and a half of just constantly screwing people over under his belt.
Is there anybody else? Maybe. I mean, Wes is still here. Wes could be, you know, he hasn't been on as many seasons, but I think you're onto something.
Yeah. So, LaGuardia, what else from this episode where we lose Bananas stood out to you that I would be remiss to not bring up right now?
From this episode, I mean, I don't know. We, you know, we get the beginning, I guess, of the Paulie versus Josh, where what I was saying, you know, about that deal that they made, it, you know, there's been a lot talked about on the show about how Josh and Paulie are so tight. They've been, you know, they're the only two on the season from Big Brother, unless I'm missing somebody, but I don't think so. You know, Natalie and Davon are both not here this season. So that connection is, you know, as strong as ever coming into the season. But apparently it seems like things have been splitting up a little bit going forward, I guess, especially after the team started to break apart. You have, you know, Jordan laid it out at the beginning of this episode. We have the Kara side versus the Banana side. It's like Kara, Paulie, Cam, Ashley, everybody that Laurel was trying to target, you know, saying that they were working with Wes. And then on Banana's side, you had like Bananas, Leroy, Nani, and so on. So Jordan and Tori seemed to be on that side. So when that split was happening, I guess you ended up with Josh and also Zach in the middle. I don't really know how Zach's not automatically on Bananas and Leroy's side, but somehow I guess he was in the middle, being pulled in both directions. But Josh and Paulie is the important connection here, because obviously after this happened, Josh felt betrayed by Paulie. He gets back to the house. He blows up on Paulie, which I guess is more episode six, but that's just, you know, we talk a lot about why Josh is on the show and what they are looking for him on the show. And he has been delivering time and time again, for exactly what they're looking for. So, that's definitely something to watch in the rest of this season and in the future, because I don't think either of them are going to stop getting called.
Yeah. I have, said before, and I can still remember when I first heard that Josh was going to be someone they were considering for the challenge. I couldn't believe it. That seemed impossible to me that Josh would be. I get why they would want him from the dramatic angle, but it seemed like the challenge was a much more physical kind of environment than I ever thought Josh would be able to hang in. But it definitely does seem like he has been working hard in the off seasons and is at least holding his own in the vast majority of the challenges. So that's cool. And I would say being in the middle is not a bad spot to be in this kind of dynamic when both of these sides are going so hard against the people that they know have it out for them. So overall, I've actually been really impressed with Josh, which I guess is kind of a low bar based on what I'd seen from him in BB19. But I'm totally down with having Josh become a semi-regular on the challenge. Scally, what do you think about Josh to this point on this season?
The thing is with Josh, he keeps preaching, and I agree completely where I'm down to have Josh back. He's doing basically exactly what I want from him. But for Josh to be preaching like team unity, let's all come together, probably puts him in a worse spot, being that he is, I mean, I don't think it's an argument that he's the weakest male player on their team. So I don't know. As soon as they lose one challenge and they're actually team strong, Josh should be going in. So if anything, he should want these two sides to be fighting with each other, because that puts Josh in a great spot where his team's not going to throw him in, the other team's not going to throw him in, and Josh, you know, by some miracle, actually has a chance of making it to the final. So Josh doing a great job of being invited back for another season, but I don't think any of us are surprised that Josh may not be playing the strategic best game.
Yeah, I will. We don't need to spend too long on this. For whatever reason, Josh and Georgia feels like such a weird pairing to me, but I guess we'll see how that ends up playing out. But yeah, overall, I've been really enjoying Josh on this season, and he seems to be kind of in the middle with Zach, as you mentioned, Ligori. And I would also say I haven't heard virtually anything about where Turbo stands in any of this, but I would say at this hour, I would feel pretty good about all three of those guys still being around for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, we talked, you know, I think the general sentiment around here is just as long as Turbo's being quiet, then, you know, that's probably a good thing. He was quiet. Well, not for us watching the show, but in terms of the game, he, you know, was pretty quiet for the most part last season, obviously woke up towards the end and we saw him like training while everybody else was out drinking. And that's just what he does in these shows. The preview for next week looked a little bit scary. Looks like he's going to get into it with Jordan a little bit. So, you know, I guess if he has been a little quiet, it seems like that's going to come to an end going forward. But yeah, Team US does still have plenty of strong players. So if they can keep it together, which they did this week, even though there was like some fighting going on between, you know, Nani and Cam, if they can keep their strong players all together and they don't break off into individuals, they are going to murder the UK in a final. Like, mm-hmm. It's not even going to be close.
Yeah. Turbo's really been fascinating to me ever since I've gotten to fall in love with this guy from last season. And I would guess that his role in that challenge house is potentially unlike anything we've really ever seen before, or at least I've ever seen before on a season of this show, where it seems like everyone at least likes him well enough and isn't concerned about him for probably good reason, kind of pulling some fast one on them. He clearly seems to just be there to compete, and everyone knows after his performance his rookie season, the last person I want to find myself against in an elimination is this guy Turbo. So to me, it seems like he is kind of just the final boss looming over the beginning and middle part of the game, where no one is going to be interested in throwing him in and getting on his bad side, but they all kind of know, you know, once the end game starts approaching, this is definitely going to be someone we have to be nervous about. And if it stays in teams, that may play differently than if it becomes individuals. But I think the role Turbo plays within this game is probably going to be pretty boring for the first at least two thirds of the season. But come end game time, I have to imagine that's going to be a talking point if we are individual and anyone else wants to win the prize money.
Yeah, it's tricky because he also like doesn't get involved in like relationships on the show. He's not really like friends with these people, so it's not like he's involved with like them turning on each other, because, you know, people were relying on Turbo's vote. Like, I would never go into a season thinking that Turbo has my back. I would hope that he does, but I would never be like, you know, even if I was friends with the guy, like, he's he's just kind of there. He's not like BFFs hanging out with these people in the offseason, as far as I know. I mean, I do follow him on social media, and I haven't seen him like hanging out with a bunch of people. I don't even know where he's living these days. I think he might be in LA, but I'm not positive about that. So yeah, he's a completely he's just his own thing. It's he's not involved with the game, but he's also dominant at the game.
It's a fun person to have in the mix, just kind of showing up every so often with charming, hilarious confessionals.
Right.
Yeah.
And, go ahead.
See, I disagree, because I think that with Turbo, first, I think he's still in Turkey. I know he was visiting California for a while, but he has people like Ninja and I think D and Bear, and people are going to visit Turbo. So I don't think that it's not that Turbo doesn't have friends in the game, not that you were implying like completely, but I think Turbo's going to show up every season, first being team strong and wanting to get people out that are going to hold that back. But at the same time, like we saw last season, Turbo formed an alliance with Pauly. I think that's very much still, you know, while maybe down low, like I think that the relationship is there, and he's rebuilt that relationship with Ninja and D. We see in the bar scene where he's comforting D as she's crying, and I do think that they legitimately have a good relationship. I think for Turbo, he's always going to be a competitor first, relationship second, and he knows how to separate that. But you don't want to get on his bad side, as we've seen, because as soon as you're his enemy, like anything he can do to get you out, he's going to do, like no holds barred. So I think that his relationships do come into play more than we see on the show, just because we get so few confessionals early on.
Yeah, I loved the quote when whoever it was doing some elimination where he says, like, if that guy came and hit me in the head with his elbow, I would drop the ball and break every bone in his body. What I want from Turbo is just a couple more of those per episode, and just watch him dominate the challenge, and then a couple months from now, we can talk about Turbo in the political game and people potentially gunning for him.
Yes, yeah. Fair enough.
All right.
So, we want to transition. I guess there's like so much more that I guess is still going on. The storylines this season are so I think that another point about the editing is that they're doing a great job telling a lot of people's stories. I guess we're not getting a whole lot of Turbo story just yet. But there are so many other things, especially going on the UK side, where they're all falling apart. They're not really, as strong of a team physically. They're not winning. They're not getting into the tribunal as much as the US is. But there's still a lot of things going on in that team. Notably, we saw a couple weeks ago that Theo versus Rogan was kind of becoming a thing, and I think we're still in episode 5 here. That kind of came to a head at that deliberation. So I'm not sure what you guys are currently thinking about, in terms of the two of them and which side will end up winning or which individual will end up winning out of that. But that seems like another thing that we really need to be keeping an eye on here, because obviously we saw Theo go into that elimination. Rogan stayed safe because Team US turned on Bananas and put him in against Theo. But Theo goes in, takes out Bananas, and now Theo goes back to the house. And, it seems like it's him and Bear against the world.
I couldn't believe that Theo was under the gun so soon on this season. I would have thought after his performance last time, he would be viewed as one of the people the UK team would turn to as, an obvious person we should want for the greater good of our team. And because he has, more experience than us, he made a final his last season, and this is half of our first time here on this show ever, and it really did seem like, because of these outside relationships that we've heard so much about between like Joss and Rogan are just best friends forever in real life, and Theo and Rogan don't get along, that's all it came down to for Theo, is it doesn't even seem to matter that much, or maybe it matters less when people like Joss and Rogan think they could do just as good of a job, if not a better job, than Theo. But one of the most surprising things to me was seeing Theo on the hot seat so early. Skyler, what'd you think about that?
Yeah, so for me, I wasn't super surprised considering we had Bear thrown in week 3. Definitely realized that this pair of Theo and Bear is not in a good spot on this team. The other thing was, I think it was Kyle was or someone was like, we got to throw in like a weak player. But I really don't know who the weak player on the men's side of the UK team is. When you look around, I mean, is it CT at this point? Like, but no one's going for him. So I really don't know who should be thrown in so early.
I know it's going for him, but they probably should be. I mean, I don't want to like completely change the topic here, but like CT is still friends with everybody on the American side while being on their team. Like, you have to imagine this guy is like trading some information back and forth. I wouldn't say he's like a weak competitor because he's still CT at the end of the day. But like, when you're looking around, you got loyalty to a lot of other people. I'm surprised they haven't gone for CT yet.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised they haven't actively gone for CT yet, but I am surprised that CT has been able to hang back and not generate any kind of, at least that we've seen on the TV show, suspicion for almost religiously just playing the middle.
It's almost like he's like their coach. Looking at him like he's like a player with the rest of the team. So at a certain point, Theo, after he gets picked by the rest of his team to go in, he's like, all right, enough of that. Like, this is stupid. I want to face either Idris or CT. And CT hears that Theo is considering going for him. And he's like, what the hell are you? What did I do? Like, you're the one that's blowing up, ruining your own game. And you want to like face me? Are you kidding me? Like, that's a joke. So we see, I guess, the retaliation from CT isn't too friendly when he finds that out. And I mean, if I'm on that team looking around and I see CT getting pissed off at me, I don't want to be the one who makes him mad either. So, maybe he is playing the spot super well. It's hard to tell. I mean, we have been hearing from him every once in a while, but it's just that's modern CT. You're not going to get a whole lot of him involved in all the drama aside from like yelling at Josh in the first episode.
The sense that I've gotten is it seems like he acts with the demeanor of almost being their coach, like an impartial observer as to what's going on with this team. And he's just looking out for getting all of them to the end. Whoever winds up there after all is said and done. What I do know is whenever things do get turned around on CT, he is going to be indignant and think it's moronic to take a shot at him that early, whenever it is.
Yes, we saw that last season too, and almost happened now if Theo had a chance to get CT put in, which, I mean, it wasn't going to happen because the American Tribunal was picking somebody. But nobody turns on CT. That's not how it works.
Scally, do you think if CT does get thrown in and wins an elimination that he would switch?
I really think it's going to depend when in the game that is the case. I think CT being on the UK team is probably as good of a spot that he could have hoped for. I don't know if he is on the US team. Does he get caught up in this, the friendly fire that's going on the team right now? Because he's one of the bigger names, definitely a manipulator, not as strong of a player. So I think he's probably in a good spot where he is. Towards the end, you want to win that final, move over to the US team. But right now, not so sure.
LaGuardia, right, sorry.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, let's keep bumping into each other. That's fun. if you ask that question about CT, bounce that also over to the guy who just won the elimination we're talking about, being Theo. I was surprised to see him not switch.
Interesting. Cool. You thought Theo would actually go through with it. It does make sense given the early kind of uphill battle he was facing. It seems politically, where everyone's against on that UK team. But I am still at the point where I'm going to be floored until we see some major kind of shakeup on one of these teams to see anyone switch. But what I was going to say is, and I guess you just answered it yourself, LaGuardia, that Theo stood out as someone who would at least strongly consider switching. Scally, does anyone stand out to you besides CT as someone who you could see jumping ship down the line?
I really think it's going to take them being like obviously on the bottom of their team and also some awareness of good TV. Bananas was, preaching that he was going to switch. Whether I think that's true or not, I think there is the possibility there because he's there to make TV. So maybe someone like a Bear, maybe someone Josh, not so much, I don't think. But someone who is aware that, like, okay, I'm not winning this season. Let me, increase my chances of coming back next year.
Yeah, and if we do stay in teams the whole way, it may get to the point where someone wins an elimination and switches just because they want to be on what looks like the team that's going to be the favorite entering the final.
Absolutely. And if that door stays open all the way to the end, then I think 100% we're going to end up in a situation like that. But I mean, in the meantime, maybe they should have held off on this twist being introduced until like a couple of weeks into it. So eventually, you know, if they actually want people to switch teams so early on, like you're going to look like the biggest traitor in the world if you do that. But say you wait till like 5 or 6 eliminations in, and then you say, all right, starting now, you can switch teams. And then they haven't, I guess, been thinking about that. So, you know, in the beginning half of the season, and now it's like, all right, I don't like my team. Now this new option has arrived where I can jump ship. And I think that, like I was saying, I think Theo was in a spot where, I mean, I guess he doesn't want to leave Bear behind if the two of them were on the bottom, to just leave his friend out in the open by himself. But Theo has relationships with people on the U.S. side. I mean, just last season, he was partnered with Kara. Obviously, that brings in Paulie. I think there are people over there that he could work with. I don't know what the status of the Theo and Cam thing was, but I feel like there was way more room for him to maneuver if he did jump ship. And like I said, I was surprised he didn't.
Mm-hmm. So definitely something to potentially be on the lookout the next time Theo finds himself in an elimination, if that does end up coming to pass. And by the way, in that elimination that Theo did against Bananas, where they were trapped in those tiny cages, when I saw what that contest was, I was livid that I'm sure this is something that if I thought more about it would cross my mind constantly on these challenge eliminations, in terms of, oh, isn't it convenient that Ninja, they know Ninja's going into the challenge, and we wind up with the exact challenge Ninja would want in her wildest fantasy. I also thought the same thing could have been in play, where we have these tiny cages, we have Bananas at whatever he is, 5'10 to 6 feet, and we have Theo, who's like 6'7". I was shocked Theo could even get into the cage, and I thought that was potentially weighted heavily in Johnny Banana's advantage there. That challenge selection for knowing, you know, the producers know who's going to be facing off, but credit to Theo for getting through that one. Another thought I had is from just kind of the opposite perspective of Theo, in terms of it seems to me like Theo is someone who's going to have his back up against the wall for the foreseeable future. On the other side of that coin, Scally, in the hypothetical where we stay in teams for another, let's say, 4 weeks, and then we go into individuals, who in your mind, other than, I think, Turbo is the person that has come up in this capacity already, who in your mind is standing out as super safe to make it to that point?
I feel like for the alliances being what they are, I feel like we're not seeing Paulie and Kara go this early, being that they have the numbers currently. And I mean, well, you got a lot of people. Anyone that's brought up in the middle, like a Zach, I don't think he's going anywhere. I feel like there's, you know, I could name, you know, 3/4 of the cast almost. I feel like there's so few people who are really on that bubble of going home with like immediate danger.
Okay. Are you seeing any timelines where Jordan or Tori could be in trouble anytime soon?
See, the thing is that I could see a Jordan or Tori getting thrown into elimination if the U.S. team loses. But if they're on this, you know, maybe I'm naive for thinking that they're actually going to be team strong for at least the next couple. But even if they lose one, I'm pretty confident that Jordan's going to win an elimination against, you know, the majority of people he might end up against.
Mm-hmm. That is true. So, Liguori, on the British side of things, is it Joss and Rogan running the show? I'm honestly I had a hard time kind of following the political dynamics as all of this most recent vote was going down, and who was feeling screwed by whom. But am I roughly correct in saying it seems like those two seem pretty safe?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess it depends, because I mean, there is two sides, and I guess at the end of the day, now the Joss and Rogan side does have the numbers, because you just look at this last vote where they ended up putting Nicole in, and it was 7-6 for the vote. It was I wrote it down here.
All I noticed was Kyle seemed mad. I wasn't even sure who else was voting.
Yeah, so
for the
Kyle.
Others.
Kyle's not on their side. Kyle, or he was, he's not on their side anymore. Kyle has been voting with the Bear and Theo side lately, which we have been talking a little bit about how Kyle and CT seemed like they were on the same page, but I think the last two votes, they were very much not on the same page. And Kyle's just, you know, you see at the end of that deliberation, he gets up and walks off all pissed off. So I don't know exactly who's safe. Again, like Scally was just saying, it's probably the people that are more so in the middle. People like maybe an Idris or Kaylee, who are not as involved in all this stuff going on, that are probably guaranteed to be here for a couple more weeks.
Okay. So definitely going to be interested to see how these next couple of votes end up going, now that it looks like we have pretty solid sides, like a majority forming on both of these teams, Scally.
Yeah, I would say so. One thing that I did want to get to before we move too far from the bananas elimination is the call for TJ to point out that he placed the balls wrong. I didn't like it personally. I feel like if we're going to do that, then why are the balls numbered at all? Like, just put a ball in and keep moving on. Because I even watching it back, you have TJ walking like up and down Banana's line, like checking the balls. He's nowhere on Theo's side, at least from the edit. So are they not checking Theo's? Like, why is he helping him? It's just that it was a completely weird call for me.
I have to imagine that he was checking both and we didn't see it. Like, if that was not, like, I think if it was the case where he was only checking Banana's, we definitely would have heard about it by one of them but I thought it was weird also, just the fact that, like, usually at the end of a, say, Survivor challenge where somebody doesn't get a piece right or whatever, and then they say, Jeff, check, and then Jeff's like, no, that's not right. But in the middle of the challenge, like, Banana's didn't submit his answer and say, like, okay, I'm done now, like, I've won. It was in the middle of, they were still going, and TJ was like, oh, Banana's, you got to go back and fix this. So I don't know. Because then if Theo made that same mistake, like, I guess you're saying, like, he wasn't checking at the exact same time. So if Theo puts a ball in, like, is he running back for back and forth to the other side to say, oh no, Theo, you didn't get that right? So it was weird timing.
It does seem strange that if TJ is going to correct you as soon as you get one wrong, why even have them be doing this in the first place? But I did love that before the challenge began, after they found out the rules, Bananas was subtitled saying, oh, Roman numerals look really similar, this could get confusing. And I didn't know if it would be him or Theo, but I had it locked in my mind from that getting subtitled and making air. One of them is definitely going to screw up these Roman numerals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah,
it did.
Sure. So let's see. Anything from the swimming challenge stand out to you guys on that episode? Anything else we're skipping over from episode 5?
No, episode 5, I think we're mostly wrapped up on. I mean, we did see a couple of people that were having a hard time in the water. So if there are, like, swimming portions of the final and any of these people are still around, you know, keep an eye on them. I guess, you know, Ninja, Kara. Kara, I mean, we've seen swim a million times. I don't know what was happening there. But Esther can't swim. Esther's not making the final. And Turbo also was having a hard time, which was interesting because I think there was some water on the final of last season, but I don't think they swam. I think they were, like, paddle boating across the river that they were at. So I don't know, maybe we finally found Turbo's kryptonite. It's water.
Yeah. Don't let Turbo hear you say that. The only thing that stood out to me was D, who was billed as not knowing how to swim last season, beat multiple people on her team and even on Team US. So I thought that was funny. Like, this woman does not know how to swim, but yet is still beating Kara, who is, you know, a 17-time challenger.
And there's also some kind of from this challenge, we saw that Ninja did so bad in it, and Zach was screaming about it. He's like, she's got to be throwing it. She's got to be throwing it. Afterwards, I think they were at the club that night, and Zach was, like, apologizing to her. He's like, I'm sorry that I accused you of throwing the challenge. Like, I just was getting frustrated. And then in the preview for next week, it looks like Zach's, like, splashing water on Ninja. So I don't know. That's maybe just, like, another storyline that we need to keep an eye on, because it seems like things aren't going so well between the two of them.
You brought up, in passing, my girl Esther, my sixth round pick that I think actually at the time we did the draft, we didn't know who the last woman on the British team would be. So I took unknown British woman, and it turned out to be Esther, who it seems like has kind of had her back up against the wall at various points, but has been able to get out of it thus far. So I will not have you speaking badly about Esther's prospects going forward on this podcast. As far as I'm concerned, steal of the draft.
All right, well, TBD. We've had a lot of late round draft picks go out so far, and she's towards the end of it, but she's still there. So
Leroy was a last round draft pick, and he's actually one of my front runners, I would say, overall. It's incredible how far Leroy's stock has fallen, although I guess that's what's going to happen when you lose like 11 challenges out of 11. But it really does seem like things may finally be looking promising for Leroy here this season. Scally, what have you thought of Leroy at this point?
I mean, we've talked about it. Leroy used to be a huge fan favorite, and then, I mean, him and Nani were really in the same boat for me, where I was like, okay, you can stop coming back. Like, remembered why we were, you know, over Nani a couple seasons ago, and I'm in that same boat, whereas Leroy is actually stepping up to the point where I'm excited about Leroy again, at least on this season, and so maybe that's just due to the larger edit he's getting, but I'm excited to see, even with all the big personalities like a Jordan or a Paulie, who you might think would be quicker to step up as a team leader, I'm interested to see Leroy be that unifying force.
Yeah, it seems like Leroy's been the one trying to get everyone on the same page, and I would say probably correctly. Like, I like that impulse of him saying, this is going to be so easy if we just can work together, at least if a big group of us could. It doesn't have to be the entire group, but if we can, for the most part, be working with like mutual benefit in mind, this could be a free, whatever the prize is, $1 million for whoever ends up making it there at the end. And I feel like, obviously, Leroy, the main story, it feels like, when Leroy is on a season, is him just being one of the numbers for Bananas. And I think it's good that Leroy is in another situation where he is able to kind of come out from behind that and hopefully step up as something of a leader or spiritual advisor to this team full of people that it seems like are trying desperately to play their way out of a winning situation.
It's so helpful that he's now up, at the front, now taking charge and trying to pull his team back together, because who doesn't love Leroy? I mean, at the end of the day, there's not one person that generally has like a bad thing to say about him. Nani was getting frustrated this episode because, you know, she feels like there's nobody she trusts more in the game, almost in life, than Leroy. You know, she's known him for so long. He has her back. And she was getting a little annoyed that, like, I guess his gameplay wasn't lining up with the exact plans that she had and whatever it was. But at the end of the day, like, having Leroy out in front saying, guys, you need to stop being ridiculous and throwing in your own team and throwing challenges so that we lose. Like, we need to stick together. We, you know, forget what just happened. Forget Wes, Laurel, Banana. They're gone. That's it's over. We need to hold strong together and keep taking out people from their side. And there's no reason why they can't do it. So proud of Leroy for, like I said, for waking up, for joining the gameplay and being not just like an active participant, but for being like a leader in this role. Jordan even called it out in a confessional. He's like, good on Leroy. Like, this is a good spot for him.
What is the perception of Leroy in the house? Is there anyone, even after all of these seasons that he's played on, who doesn't, I can't imagine there's anyone in there saying, oh, Leroy is such a snake, but is there anyone who would even meet these kind of statements from Leroy about wanting to just be a team player with even any sense of skepticism? Like, to me, it seems like pretty much everyone is going to believe that he genuinely has the team's best interest at heart.
If I walked into a challenge house and I saw Leroy, I'd probably be like, oh, cool, they like hired him for production. They want to keep him around.
Yeah.
It'd take me a minute to realize he's there to play the game. But
so looking forward to seeing how all of this goes for Leroy. And we got to see him in the tribunal be a big focal point of this episode. So that was very cool. And it's rare that we get to see so much from Leroy so early into a season, at least if my memory is serving, which I guess it's very real possibility that is not what's happening. But we also got to see a lot this week from another person who's come up recently in Nani, who got to be the speaker after sitting out of the challenge. All three of the people in the tribunal, I believe, sat out of this week's trivia challenge. But Nani is another person that we were just talking about in terms of she was so fun for so many years, but potentially we were finally at the point where we were wondering, if she's not going to be in here taking real big swings all the time and isn't usually going super deep into the game, is Nani someone we really need to see back every season? And while I am generally on board with potentially, you know, not needing Nani to be a staple time after time after time, I have definitely enjoyed these last couple seasons having her back. And I do feel like in this episode where she got to be highlighted a little bit, it definitely was fun. And she seems to be in there, you know, still playing hard and trying her best, and always love to see that. So, Scally, Nani's trajectory from here after having just served as speaker, how are you feeling for her?
I feel like Nani is loyal to a fault to her side and really is not willing to play that middle ground. You saw, like, last season, she was trying to team up with, like, Kara, like, oh, we're the vets, and, like, it just, it's not happening. She doesn't have the relationships that she needs on that other side. As far as, like, having Nani on my screen, I can kind of take it or leave it. I just really don't know what role she plays on the show. She's not, you know, bringing drama consistently. She's not bringing, like, strategy consistently. She's not, like, a huge challenge threat. So not sure exactly what we're going to see from her moving forward. But I don't think she's an immediate target. I don't see her having any chance in a final, though.
Okay. Even if they assuming they don't, you know, stay a big team where she can just kind of latch herself on to the winning U.S. effort, right?
Yeah, I mean, if she is somehow there, but I don't see any situation in which she does not go into an elimination and ends up losing before then.
Okay, Liguori, where do you land on that?
It was pretty impressive, I think, just to see Nani get, like, an entire episode that was pretty much about her. Like, this entire episode was following her story as she went from, you know, my friends all just got taken out of the game, or, you know, people I was working closely with. She was with Laurel and Bananas, and now I'm kind of not on my own, but I have a couple of people still around that are looking out for me. I need to find a way to put myself in power and to make sure a move happens that I want to have happen, or just take control of my game again, because, you know, she is somebody who kind of sits back a little bit and just lets the game be played around her, which is not always, you know, a bad decision. We were saying Bananas should be doing stuff like that. So I'm happy with the way that she's playing the game for the most part, like last season, you know, just the fact that she's not making a big target out of herself. And then towards the end, she kind of has to pick things up a little bit if she wants to make her way to a final, not just win a final. So the only thing is that obviously this episode didn't even play out the way that she wanted it to. She, you know, it was such a silly, small decision that she wanted to make sure Esther went in, but she wanted Esther to go in and the other two wanted Nicole to go in, so she didn't get her way. So it's kind of rough that even after all of this, is the whole story of Nani this episode, it ends in her getting somewhat defeated by her own team.
What do you think are the chances that this is Nani's last season of the challenge?
0%.
Zero. Yeah, I agree. It's pretty low.
A hard zero. I just because she's, like, invested back in this world now. She, like, the whole story why she came back was, like, she, you know, needs, like, some change in her life. She had broken up with her boyfriend, and now she's back in the world. It's, like, I think same thing with, like, Wes and Laurel. Like, once you just let yourself come back, it's hard to, like, completely separate yourself again. You see, even, like, Jordan, you know, he won his season a couple seasons ago, and then you were like, oh, he does seem like he's done, and then three seasons later, he's back. So pretty much everybody on the screen right now, I wouldn't say is anywhere close to being, like, done for good.
Okay, even CT, you think, has still got some gas left?
If I thought that CT was going to be done, you know, I mean, I keep thinking that he should be done and then he's not. So, you know, CT is just going to be on these until he's got a wheelchair, you know, pushing him around.
All right. One other person that I don't think has come up too much, but I would definitely love to get an update on, my girl Cam, and the way she has fit in on this season. We got to see her be speaker a little while ago, and it seems like once again, Cam is going into a season of the challenge with some real big plans and wanting to, you know, take her own fate into her own hands, which is always what you want to see out of these players. And she's been doing, as far as I can tell, at least well enough in the challenges. But I'm still unclear on Cam's kind of long-term prospects at fitting in with the power players in this group. Scally, what does that look like from where you're sitting?
For me, I think what Cam did in terms of setting herself up with Kara, Polly, Ashley, that whole side, I think it was a good move for her. I know that we've given you some grief for taking Cam so early in the last couple rounds, but I've been, like, excited about her on this season in a way that I have not been for probably the last two, I would say. So I'm thinking that Cam may actually be a bigger threat than I previously thought.
We talked about this when you weren't here for like the Laurel episode, but we finally got the Cam and Laurel showdown that you've been personally waiting for. It wasn't in elimination, but we finally got the two of them like face to face, and there was some confrontation. So I definitely still wanted to hear what you thought about all that.
Yeah, I mean, that whole episode was easily my favorite episode of the season, which I can't believe I'm saying considering how much I loved episode 3 and the way that they maybe two-thirds of the way through the episode first floated the idea of Wes going in, and then from that point forward it was a blitz to an eventual Wes elimination. I loved the way all of that was told, and it kind of distracted me from the fact, I guess, that I like that episode so much is a real testament to how good episode 4 was then afterwards. But I always a big fan of Cam whenever she gets to be on screen, whether it's in a competition or in particular when she is in a position of power where she can really like get her way potentially and strong arm some people. It seems like those are the real times where Cam shines on TV. I'm thinking back to when she pulled that big bluff off a couple of seasons ago, saying she was definitely going to throw in either Joss and Sylvia or someone else to get the whole house to like vote. However, I obviously don't remember the specifics, but
that was already better than I thought you would have gotten.
Thank you. Yeah, Cam the power player is someone I am always going to be here for, and I think this season she has been doing a good job. It concerns me that long term she may be someone who is so obviously self-interested and so unwilling to tolerate bullshit that it may not gel that well with people who really just want to run people over while constantly lying to them. So that could be an issue down the line, but certainly impressed and entertained by everything I've seen out of Cam, and as always very happy to have her on my team.
Yeah, she's not afraid of anybody. She's not afraid, and she proved that by you know, at the probably the scariest female on this cast, on many casts, you know, standing up to Laurel and saying, "Listen, I am not afraid of you. I will do whatever it takes to take you down if I need to. Like, you're not intimidating me. Nothing you've ever done would be intimidating to me." So just the fact that she's able to step up to Laurel or pretty much anybody. We saw her get into it with Nani a little bit this episode, where Nani was saying at the end of the day, I think Nani was saying that everybody also like pretty much ultimately looks out for their own numbers. And Cam was saying like, no, I did it for the team. When I made my decision, it was for the team. You know, all of us are trying to make decisions for the team. That's what this has been about. And there's kind of a little bit back and forth because Nani was considering putting in one of Cam's friends, but Cam was not going to sit back and be quiet about it. She was going to make sure that that didn't happen, which is not the same case when it's somebody like Nani and her friends were going in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Nani just saw Laurel and Bananas got taken out, and she didn't really step in to stop it as far as we saw. So Cam is a extremely strong player. Like I said, I'm still hoping for the win to come sometime soon. I hope it's, you know, this season or next season or something. I think, you know, it's not like being a challenge winner is the only way to say that you're a strong player in the game, but like it definitely helps boost the resume to say, all right, you got the win on your record. So yeah,
if for no other reason than to just know you are capable of winning, I feel like that could unlock an even better level of Cam in challenges going forward. So that'd be awesome. One person who's done a lot of winning on the challenge that I can't believe we're not hearing more from, to the point that like, I've found myself forgetting she's even on the season until she randomly pops up, but I love me some Ashley, and I'm very upset that we aren't seeing and hearing more from her to this point this season. Scally, what's been going on with Ashley?
I love Ashley so much. I need her on every episode constantly, but we're just not getting that. I think she, like I think Ligori flagged up earlier, she's doing what Banana should be doing, and she has the, you know, strong alliance, is strong-ish at least as it seems, where she's in the winning side of the numbers, but she's also willing to flop to the other side if they seem to have the majority. She is not taking a front seat because she's not in a position where she should be. So I wish we were getting more of her, you know, funny confessionals, but as far as game-wise, Ashley knows that she is not in a power position. position, and she's reacting accordingly by, you know, going along with the majority.
Okay. Is that what you're seeing, Liguori?
Yeah, I could do like a an entire 2-hour podcast about all the reasons that I love Ashley Mitchell and the reasons why she's just amazing at the game. You know, she's literally, I tweeted this out, she's literally brains, brawn, and beauty. She's got every aspect of this game covered. You know, as soon as I saw there was a trivia challenge this week, I was like, the only person that I knew right away was a lock to go in is Ashley. She's smart. She is, mm-hmm. when she sets her mind to the game, she is more than capable than, she's just as capable as anybody else of at doing well. And I think that, you know, we're not seeing as much of her on the screen, which is, you know, unfortunate because she's such a good television personality. But if she's doing, if she's staying back and not getting super involved, that's good for her. So we will see eventually, you know, towards the end, I'm hoping. But she's, I think she's playing a really good game this season. And I think that's great for her, because if she is able to see that, you know, I can play this game well without all my friends being here, then I think that's super promising for her being on future seasons, even if Amanda's not around. You know, she's off, you know, having her baby sometime soon, and all of her other friends are just not getting called back as much. So I'm happy to see that she's thriving.
Yeah, we see Johnny Bananas, as we've already referenced, say, I am the challenge. Ashley Mitchell, with the brains, brawn, beauty that you referenced, Liguori, and I would also say quite a penchant for drama, is the challenge, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'll in every single scenario, take Ashley Mitchell as the face of the challenge over Johnny Bananas.
Yeah, and she's the all-time prize money leader. It may be the case now with Bananas and Wes and Laurel out of the house. Maybe tougher with Jordan still in there, but it's got to be very close to Ashley has won more money on this show than everyone left in the house combined.
I think you are correct in that. I mean, I'm not going to, you know.
Jordan and Turbo have at least three wins between them, but and CT has some money as well, but it's not far off.
Scally's probably the math guy on that.
Yeah, I would say that Turbo's big win last season definitely complicates things a little bit. But Jordan's win was not nearly, you know, towards $1 million. I think Turbo's was around 750, but Jordan was probably, I forget if it was 250 or 300, something like that.
Hasn't Ashley made like $1.7 million or something on the challenge?
Like it's like 1.2 or something like that. It's absolutely, but she is. I mean, Bananas is the next closest, and it's not that close.
And that's good for her. I mean, the fact that she like plays this game knowing she has nothing to prove to anybody still, like she has already proved that she can win two seasons of the show, and she is the most winningest competitor. Like she has nothing left to show anybody. So at this point, she doesn't have to play the game like Nani or like Leroy, where, you know, they're still trying different things every season to see what works to get them to the win. You know, Ashley can just play her game, and she knows that there's a good chance she'll end up there.
Yeah, I do think that she is kind of still underestimated, both amongst fans and amongst people in the house, in terms of her actual ability. So, like I flagged up on another podcast, I think Evelyn is the only woman to have won three challenges, at least in the modern era. So, would love to add Ashley Mitchell's name to that list.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So, moving over, I suppose, back to the UK side for a little bit in this episode 6, we get a little more of this Dee and Rogan storyline. I feel like Dee has been someone we're seeing a lot more of than I would have expected to this point. What have we, if anything, been making of that, or is this just a reason to show us something that's happening over with the British people, Scally?
See, I don't know if this is going to be unpopular or not. I was very much not excited to see Dee back on this season. Not that I was, you know, hating it, the prospect, but I really had no investment on her coming back. And I've been enjoying Dee this season, whether it be for commentary or just the drama or whatever else that she's been bringing. And as far as I know, in an earlier episode, I had said, oh, I'm actually happy to see Josh have a prospect after that kiss, which may have been his first kiss in life televised on TV, which is just, you know, horrifying. I have actually been enjoying Dee and Rogan as a couple for their storyline.
Okay. Liguori?
I don't know what to exactly make of it, because it is like we look at a season like last season where there was so much going on with like Cam, Theo, Leroy, and it maybe like got one episode worth of content, even though it seemed like something that had been going on for a while. So I don't know. It's they're putting this like in our faces, like they're showing us almost weekly Dee and Rogan. So this is very much honestly, there's been more Dee and Rogan than Tori and Jordan. To this point, which is crazy because, I mean, Tori is like the person that they've like taken from, you know, they not that they like made Tori, but like they've been using Tori so much. And I feel like we haven't seen much from them, I guess, besides this week. There was a little bit where I think it was Kyle was commenting and he's like, they are like couple goals. They are the cutest couple on earth. I want them to adopt me. There's like nothing wrong with the two of them as they're just perfect together. So. Well, that's Kyle's words, not mine. But I think I agree with him for the most part. Just Dee and Rogan, I don't know if they're just trying to make it like the UK's side of Jordan and Tori. But yeah, it's a lot.
Those are Kyle's words, not mine. Granted, I stand by every single one of them, but don't judge me.
Well, because my first thought was those weren't my words, and then the second thought was actually I kind of agree with them. So my thought number one is always to defend myself, and then I realized that I kind of agree with them. So
yeah, what have you thought? I know I asked Scally a little about Jordan and Tori in the context of they seem to me like pretty safe at least in the immediate future. Are you getting that same vibe, Ligor, or do you feel like they could have this kind of potentially so far happy romantic challenge getaway snatched away from them sooner than they may realize?
I see nothing from either of their games to suggest that there's any kind of downfall coming, you know, in the immediate future. You know, I don't know if it's just like, if I'm saying it in terms of like reading the edit or whatever, but like with Laurel, you could tell that she wasn't vibing with her team early on. With Bananas, he was throwing challenges and making people annoyed. You know, Nicole, they had been setting up a lot about how her and Georgia are so tight. And eventually, you know, this story breaks out into where Georgia's hysterically crying as Nicole goes off. I haven't seen anything from Jordan and Tori to be like their games are not going in a positive direction. So I mean, it probably is a mostly edit read, but I think they're doing just fine.
Okay. Someone I'm surprised hasn't come up more to this point, but you just mentioned her a couple times, and I continue to love now in at least her second season, potentially third season or more, but Georgia has been a real bright spot for me once again on this season, particularly actually in this episode 6 challenge where she was making the monkey noises as whoever it was trying, Polly or whatever, was trying to answer the trivia questions. I loved that, and just continue loving Georgia overall as a character, even if it is in a showmance that I am kind of grossed out by, if I'm being fully honest. I continue to really enjoy pretty much every time Georgia is on screen, and she continues, by the way, to, as far as I can tell, more than hold her own in pretty much all of these challenges. So hoping she can stay around for a while. Ligori, where did Georgia land on the majority or minority of this new British divide?
She pretty much has been on the minority side since early on. I don't know how much you are buying into the theory that I've had lately on these podcasts about how it seems like a pretty big divide between the people who were on last season that debuted as rookies and the people who were on the season before. So the Joss and Rogan was on that season, even if it was like for 5 seconds, and Kaylee, that they've been sticking together. And then the Theo, Bear, and Georgia squad who debuted last season has been sticking together. And it just seems like they're not really jiving very well. They're very much on opposite sides. And it's funny because, you know, you have Kyle in the middle, who was like the first one to come over before all the rest of them. So Georgia has been with her guys, with Theo and Bear, and Nicole, you know, obviously is a number with Georgia, so they've been kind of on the outs. And as we saw, they did not have the numbers, and Georgia ended up losing her number one this episode. So things aren't really looking great for her. She was thrown into like the first elimination, the first female elimination of the season, where she sent home Big T, unless I'm forgetting one. No, that was the first one. So yeah, it's not been looking great for her, but I don't know what that means going forward, because she is still a strong competitor.
Yes. Scally, what are you making of the whole Georgia situation to this point?
Well, first, I love Georgia and all 49 of her confessionals this season,
wow,
which brings her
wow.
to, yeah, by far the season leader with, of active cast members, Kara coming in second at 35. So she has been all over the show, and I'm very happy about it. With Georgia, I don't know that she's in a great position moving forward, but I was impressed that she really did not come up as an option for this week's elimination, especially when you consider that her friend was in an elimination and you want to break up as many alliances as possible, along with her being a strong competitor. It really seemed like she should have been mentioned, but Georgia, unfortunately, is in the minority of votes on that side, so not sure if we're going to keep her out of elimination much longer.
Yeah, if I was a producer and I could somehow, like, sneak a hidden immunity idol to anyone in the game, I think at this point I would give it to Georgia.
But nobody that produces television would ever do anything like that, so...
No, 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 it would just be a deranged conspiracy to even suggest otherwise, so, yeah. So, who else from the British team, if anyone, is standing out as someone to have your eye on, Scally?
We have seen, so I flagged this up earlier, but in terms of Joss and Rogan versus Bear and Theo, we are seeing so much of Rogan compared to what I would expect. So I really think that he is someone, if not to do well this season, someone that they want to keep their eye on to bring back in the future. So I'm definitely enjoying both D and Rogan. Joss, less so, he's really not been forefront of this season. But as far as, I mean, I consider Rogan as much of a rookie as basically any other first timer on
totally,
this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying that Rogan has been the standout of people that I was not previously attached to.
And it was amazing that we got the Kyle, you know, back that first season, the Kyle confessional that we fell in love with, where he's screaming about Rogan. I'm not even going to attempt to like make it as good as Kyle. But then this episode where Rogan gets the question wrong about how many men have walked on the moon, and Kyle jumps in with I know it's 12, but I hope it's 13, because this seed is going to launch him all the way up there. Hope he doesn't come back down. That was amazing.
Kyle's been so much fun, and yeah, that was my big takeaway on Rogan as well, is I'm very happy to have Rogan keep coming back, as long as we can have Kyle narrating every move he makes, talking about what Rogan is doing. that's got to happen way more often as far as I'm concerned. I've been really enjoying Kyle these last couple of seasons, honestly, as someone who wasn't as quick to fall in love with him as, at least in my memory, Scally was. For whatever reason, Kyle's just always been your boy, Scally.
I've
really enjoyed Kyle.
I agree. Kyle's definitely been great, especially this season for me. Last season, he was still tied up in the Kara and Pauly drama, which, I mean, yes, he was the hero in that story, according to most fans, at least. But I have really liked now that he's been separated from that. And I think he is a little bit, you know, guarded in terms of some of his worst behaviors not making the edit. But as far as on the TV show, I have very much enjoyed Kyle.
Yeah. I love him in this role where he's not just constantly screaming at Pauly or being screamed at by Pauly in a conflict that we know virtually nothing is going to come of on this season. They're just going to get real heated at each other. They're going to say, hold me back, hold me back, hold me back. And nothing really too exciting will actually come to pass. I love Kyle. It's kind of just this ne'er-do-well scampering around the house, commenting wryly about what everyone else is doing around him.
Yep. And I mean, just in terms of like gameplay, though, as fun as he is, he's got to figure out where he's going from here, because now that he's completely like, it's confirmed that he's outside the numbers, you know, he was on the outside of this vote. He got up and stormed away. And it seems like him and CT have been, like I said, they've been voting on opposite sides. So he really needs to figure out what he's doing. If he's going to, you know, just jump ship and go land on the Joss and Rogan side, if they have, you know, any kind of room for him, if they want to bring him in at all. Otherwise, if he's going down with the sinking ship, then it's only a matter of time, because this team is losing elimination challenges every single week. And unless the format switches up and we get out of teams anytime soon, you have to think that him and Theo and Bear are going to keep getting thrown in on the guys' elimination days until there's just none of them left.
Yeah. And actually, one other name on this British team that, based on at least this most recent episode, I feel like we would be foolish not to at least have an eye on is Jenny, who seemed to just beast that elimination challenge, and it seems like has been doing really well in pretty much all of the challenges overall. I feel like after that performance, she probably will continue to be viewed as one of the most valuable members of the British team, and maybe that means she just keeps getting thrown in by the Americans whenever that is possible, but not just for this season. Jenny is the one who stood out to me as, of these new British people, the one I would have my eye on as a future power player for many seasons.
Yeah, with Jenny, I'm happy that she's here in the fact that she's keeping Team UK at least, you know, slightly competitive. But the same way that we felt about Ninja on last season, where, yeah, she's a challenge threat, but she's really not bringing anything in terms of personality or drama or just, you know, she's not, like, mingling as much with the other people. So I'm not really, like, convinced that I need her back in the future, but I hope to see at least that she can, because I think we will probably end up seeing her again.
If anybody's been, you know, has any issue to take with this team format, I think it's Scally, not just because this team is made up of like almost entirely his draft team, I'm talking about, of like the UK people who have been, you know, losing the challenges, but you still somehow have 7 out of 8 of your players, which is another story. But the fact that like Jenny is not like playing an individual game, if this was, like last season, I think, did you have Maddie on your team? I think you did.
Yeah.
Right. So you made a good call there by identifying that that was somebody who would do well in a lot of these challenges. And that seems like a similar mindset that you went in going with the Jenny pick here. And if this was an individual season, if Jenny had a chance to just play and compete in challenges on her own, I think she'd be racking up the points, but, she's kind of being held back by her team. And you see that a couple of times so far this season when the US is looking for a strong female to throw in, Jenny's name comes up every single time. So yeah, they definitely are afraid of her. And I mean, that probably does do well for her in terms of coming back again. I think if she, you know, she might not be the most entertaining, but neither is Nani. So, you know, they're going to bring back people who serve a purpose. And if her purpose is to be a strong player on the in the game physically, then that's why she'll be back.
I know we had done our draft shortly after they left to go film, and no one could have possibly known anything. I remain convinced that Scally has a time turner, if that's how that works, a time machine at the very least, and is fully spoiled.
Yeah, if I was fully spoiled, I would have taken Leroy with that last round pick.
That's true, and you probably wouldn't have 7 British people on your team.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. Leroy and his 21 points are really helping me out with the loss of my first round pick, Laurel.
Yeah, like 6 out of 8 of my players are in single digits in terms of points, so really struggling there.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible that we lost 2 first-round picks in the first, 4 episodes? That's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and you really haven't had a chance to comment on your only 2 picks that have gone this season when they just got wiped off the board in 1 episode.
That was very brutal. When that happened, I was literally saying to myself, well, here we go again. I'm going to be completely out of contention by episode 3. I can't believe I've still been hanging on so well. I thought for sure the way those first couple episodes went, and then Bear finds himself in the elimination in episode 3, I thought I was just done.
Yeah, that was a brutal start to both of them in the same episode just completely gone. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, actually, honestly, I would take that over losing Laurel. I can't believe that still happened. And Laurel should be racking up points for my team right now with the rest of the U.S. winning, and she's not.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I guess I'm just much more of a challenge expert than you are, Ligori. One name that just came up that I don't think we've talked about too much specifically, but quick thoughts, Scally, on what you have been thinking of Bear these last couple of weeks?
Bear, you know, always for me, enjoyable on the show, terrible off the show. So, but, I have enjoyed having him around as far as what he's bringing. Don't feel great about his long-term prospects, especially now that his side lost another number in Nicole. So I think that, we're going to enjoy Bear for, you know, a couple weeks, but like I said, there's a very few people that I think are on the bubble of going home soon, and he's one of those names for me.
I feel like that's how a lot of my regular podcast listeners feel about me. Fine enough on the actual show, but just a nightmare on Twitter and elsewhere. Ligori, what do you think about Bear?
My opinion of Bear is always going to be the same. Just, I love the guy. I love his television performance in the confessionals and on the show. He's just a casting producer, a any kind of producer on a show like The Challenge's dream. Like, this is the person that they want on every single season, which, interesting enough, I was hearing things that, like, because I know that there was some controversy with Georgia, which I also don't have the full details of, so I probably don't want to talk too much about, unless Scally does. But there was some stuff going on with Georgia and maybe with Bear, too, that they were, like, might – maybe not being cast on next season because of, from the last time I checked the 35, like, early speculation list, it looked like Bear was still on there, but Georgia might not be, which, is probably a little surprising to some people. But I'm just, if there's, you know, if they can bring back Bear, if, he's not, you know, driving their price up too much to keep bringing him back, he will be here, for the foreseeable future. And I'm not upset about it.
And you sign off completely on everything he does in the real world?
Yes.
For sure.
Ooh, yes.
No.
Let's not clip that. So, as far as you bringing up the controversies, I had not heard of it really being the reason why those two would not be on the next couple seasons. But yes, in speaking of my love of Georgia, I did very much forget about the recent controversy that came out with Georgia, and very much, you know, shame on Georgia. Not a fan. Definitely hurts my opinion of her outside. But I, from what I remember, I believe there was an apology and everything was sorted in terms, not sorted, but, you know, everything. The response was at least somewhat thoughtful in terms of that. So I'm interested to see how they handle it moving forward.
You'll be shocked to hear that I don't know what this controversy is. Is this suitable for podcast airwaves to get into the rough details of, or no?
Yeah, so Georgia, I believe there was a costume pulled up from Georgia's past in which she wore blackface.
Mm.
So very, very not good. Completely, obviously disapprove of that in the outside, and, you know, hurts my opinion of Georgia overall. I would say, even like, as someone who tries to constantly keep these things in their mind when evaluating these people on the show and choosing who I root for, I mean, there was a thread going around this week of Jordan and his past. And as much as I've, like, been on top of Zach in the past for things that he's done, and, you know, remember that Jordan is not a great person. It was just, like, completely, oh my God, I cannot believe how much I forgot about how just absolutely vile Jordan has been on past seasons. So it's a constantly, you know, something to keep reminding yourself of when rooting for certain people.
It's such it kind of sucks that we have to so often keep that in mind when talking about how much we love all of these people on the show. And I'm sure the same thing would happen if we knew more about the people that are playing Survivor or whatever. But it is kind of annoying that, as much as I do love, like, Bear the TV character, and I totally would sign off on, like, this guy is a casting director's dream in purely the context of providing entertaining TV, it does make me feel weird at the very least that I'm essentially endorsing, promoting this guy who is potentially overtly breaking some pretty important laws in the real world.
It's pretty crazy how, you know, Big Brother has live feeds, and after, you know, a couple weeks, you can pretty much figure out who is going to be receiving the most heat after the season. And some show like this, like, even if stuff does come out, it kind of gets swept under the rug and people don't really think about it as much. But if, like, just imagine for one second that this show had any kind of live feeds and you got to see what these people were saying on a daily basis, the show would not be on the air. Like, Big Brother somehow is still surviving, but I cannot imagine how the, like, this group of people, like the MTV casts, they would be shut down by now. There's no chance if they had any kind of, like, raw footage of things that get said around the house, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. So that's always a really fun dynamic when enjoying this show. But what are you going to do? Ligori, anything else from episode 6 that we skipped over?
Did you have any like, strong takes about questions that people got wrong in the trivia?
So I wasn't,
anything stand out?
I wasn't prepared to judge any of these people, just because in looking through the questions that Ligori very generously wrote down for me in his notes here, I probably would have gotten right around half of them wrong. Like, I knew who invented the telephone, but I did not know who Peter Gene Hernandez was. Although, true story, I would not just make this up to say it. My guess literally would have been Bruno Mars. So I would have guessed and gotten that one right. But, like, I knew the dog on The Simpsons, and I knew, like, Mean Girls. I knew Tiger Woods' real name. But there were plenty of these that I definitely would have gotten wrong. And so that's always a lot of fun watching people forced to do trivia and being scared to death of it when every other episode they're like jumping off buildings and being totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Some of the, but like there was a lot of talk also about how some of these questions were like so easy for the US team, and then the UK ones were like, what is the name of, like the Peter Jean Hernandez question, like that was the question that they got asked, and then Paulie got asked to spell two different words. He got asked, how do you spell alliance and how do you spell cutthroat? Like, I granted, some people probably aren't great at spelling, but like those are two words very closely associated with the challenge. And if you have any idea, I mean, if you can't spell alliance and you're on this show, I don't understand how you got cast. But if you can't, you get what I'm saying. These questions were so hard for the UK team compared to the US ones.
For sure.
Yeah, I would say that there was a lot of variance in the difficulty of the questioning. I wonder how much that there, how many other questions there were that did not end up making air because they got them right and it was, you know, not good footage from there on. A little weird with the decision to only make six people play when it ended up being just like first to this many. So they could have gone, you know, the 11 rounds. So why not just have the entire team play, stack the front of the lineup with your strongest players, but who knows, maybe they couldn't afford extra harnesses. But I mean, when you have, overall, maybe they evened out. I mean, Team UK did get the ones wrong of name the seven continents, and, you know, with South Africa and Russia being two of the first things they named. And with Nicole saying there were 50 seconds in 3 minutes. So, I mean, you know, the balance of questions, I think, overall was off. I don't think everything was equal because, I mean, unlike Colin, I did not know Tiger Woods' first name, did not know the Simpsons dog family name, stuff like that. But it was just like, it was very random in terms of some were really hard and then some were, you know, like spelling cutthroat was an absolute.
Yeah, that's true. And Theo got like the like what's pie out to like two deaths. Yeah, so I could not believe that he didn't get that one right, but
That one he clearly just didn't know what two decimal places meant, and that I would say as a math person, TJ asked that question incorrectly. The language he used is not how a math literate person would ask that question.
Yeah,
TJ and I have that in common.
Did notice that. First he has to know what it is, has to know like what two decimal places are, but there were some things that were absolutely wild. I mean, I flagged up on Twitter as soon as they said Cara was like, oh, like this is Polly's go-to karaoke song. I was like, it can't be, there's no way, is it really? And yes, the Bruno Mars, where there's a infamous video of Polly doing karaoke, like dancing around his BB showman Zakia at a meet and greet. So that was really, really funny to have like that meta moment come up on the show.
Oh, I was certainly familiar with the video of Pauly doing some karaoke around Zakia. I did not know that was a Bruno Mars song. That's like that's how out of the Bruno Mars loop I am.
It was so funny.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say TJ had an enormous stack of questions, and I'm sure you're right, Scally, that many rounds probably went, they both got them right, and thus it didn't make air until someone gets one right and one wrong. But I would imagine that the questions were totally randomized. Like, they print out a bunch of questions, they shuffle them around, and whoever gets what question is that's the question you get. But I would say, to go back to the original point, that I would be pretty surprised if it were not American people writing these questions, and that overall the questions had a pretty substantial American bias.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, I can't remember what question it was, even though I have it written down, but one of them was just like, there's no way that anybody on the on that side, the UK side, would have known this. It's you know,
the Tiger Woods one, I can't believe anyone on the UK team would know.
I think they probably just wanted to see the entire, like, as many people as possible get flung into the air as well. But some of the questions were so easy, so I don't know. I don't know what the balance was when they were trying to plan out this challenge.
Yeah, but always a good time with the trivia challenge for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So what else, if anything, that we wanted to get to?
So, I mean, just for the rest of this episode, we have, you know, Nani is a little upset with Leroy because Leroy goes back and he wants to, you know, talk to the team about what they're going to do, what move they're going to make. And Nani's like, no, like we can still play for the team, but also like be a little selfish by like making sure we get the move that we want to make it. And then, we go back and Cam and Leroy or Cam's kind of pulling on Leroy a little bit to say, like, let's make sure that we do the smart move and not the move that Nani just wants to make to keep her numbers all together. And we end up obviously seeing Nicole go into this elimination. One thing I wanted to flag up from the elimination, which you said about the previous one with Theo and Bananas, was some of these eliminations, like on Survivor at least, like they make each challenge designed for each person that's playing in it. So if it's like one that you have to stand up between the two walls or whatever, they adjust things based on height. So like the block in between you and the roof of the thing that you're standing in, it's like they're all different heights. These challenges, they really can't do a whole lot, or at least they don't do a whole lot to make them individualized for each person. So the one in the cage, like you said, Theo was like having such a – he's so much bigger than the cage. And in this episode, Nicole, I thought, was like she could barely get her body across the box. Like,
yeah,
she was so much smaller.
Yeah.
So I thought that was worth pointing out, just because Jenny was like flying up and down, and obviously Nicole had a little bit of a panic attack that she really couldn't figure out how to get up and down, but she just looked like she couldn't even like fit across the box to even try.
I think it's one of those situations where I totally agree with you. To make this fair, they should do exactly what Survivor always does, which is in challenges where that sort of thing matters, they tailor it and customize the challenge set to make it fair based on the size of the people competing. In this case, I think they would at least make the argument, we don't know who's going to be competing in these challenges. It's not determined until the votes are cast who's actually going to be there. So we can't pre-make a bigger cage for Theo and a smaller one for Bananas, because we don't know that that's the way it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think that two seasons ago on Final Reckoning, being that it was mixed gendered pairs with, male-male, male-female, and female-female, and they tried to do a bunch of equalizers and were met with a ton of controversy surrounding that, I think they're going to be a little more hesitant to start doing things like that in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a couple seasons in a row, it felt like we would come in here and talk about how so many of the main matches seemed so weighted towards the men that it's impossible to believe they wouldn't be able to see that coming.
Yeah, definitely fair.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Georgia's reaction as she watched this entire elimination go down? That was brutal.
I feel bad for Georgia, yeah, in this particular scenario, now that she's finally cemented herself as a regular on the challenge. She gets her best friend to come out from England and play on a season with her. It looks like things could potentially go their way. And then after this crazy close vote, her friend is immediately gone, and now it looks like her position is potentially the worst thing she's ever had to face in her challenge career to this point. Definitely not a fun week to be a Georgia fan.
And it's also like Jenny was a vote on Georgia's side, and I think she still is. I think she's with that group. So this was pretty much a lose-lose for Georgia anyway, but you could tell that she obviously wanted Nicole to stay. It's kind of awkward that she was like hysterically crying, come on, Nicole, you can do it, you can do it. And now Jenny comes back and like they're supposedly on the same side. So that might be some tension going forward, but she could also probably just play it off and be like, I was sad that both of you were in there and I had to lose one of you. But yeah, so I guess you never know. Jenny could end up switching sides if she's really upset about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too shocked. I'm sure Jenny would have rather had Georgia, undyingly supporting her. But I think, at least I would hope, that Jenny would get it, and that she would have, she would, I would imagine, be at least roughly familiar with Georgia and Nicole entering this season, and would understand that, the same way I'm sure if Joss or Rogan finds themselves in an elimination, the other one will be openly cheering for that person to come back. But it doesn't necessarily mean they hate the other person in the elimination if they end up beating their friend.
No, you're right. It's just it was such a big reaction. Like,
yeah.
She was breaking down. She had makeup everywhere, and she was like on the ground, like hyperventilating. So it was like a bigger reaction than normal to see Nicole going home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely, and because I mean, even just a couple episodes, we had Georgia who was like, Nicole, you're like the strongest competitor. And it was like in the challenge where they had to jump with the hook, Nicole wasted like, I don't know, 40 seconds standing there like, I don't want to jump. She didn't even, she got her first question wrong on this one. So don't think Nicole was the strongest. I mean, but if I was in that tower, I'd be at the bottom for the rest of it. So not to this day. But I will say, I'm interested to see, now that Nicole did go home, how someone like like CT, who has been the swing vote on a couple of these votes on the next Women's Elimination Day, considering the only two women left on that side are Jenny and Georgia, who are arguably the two strongest women on the team. Is CT going to be willing to now vote for Georgia and Jenny to go in, or are we going to see Esther's name finally come up?
D's still there, too.
Yeah, but D is on the other side, and I think one of the strongest women, I would say, because when Nani was arguing, basically, Georgia and I don't want to vote in Georgia, I don't want to vote in Jenny, the next best alternative is Kaylee, where I think probably D was overlooked there, but I was impressed with Cam probably defending Kaylee to the point where Nani ends up voting in Esther. So I wonder where someone like CT's vote is going to go, if he's going to stick with that side, or Esther's number is finally coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Yep, that's about all I had.
All right. So very much looking forward to seeing how the rest of this ends up playing out over the course of this season. And you guys, I believe, will be back in here next week after episode 7.
Yes, I apologize to you. I'm sorry that you said we're fired, and hopefully that's not the case, because last week was so busy. We had to take a couple days to just celebrate Nicole's America's Favorite Player victory, which I know that you're very excited about as well.
Definitely.
As somebody who watched the entire season all the way to the end.
I got the unicorn avatar.
Yes. You probably don't, because you're trying to be funny, but you should, because we need to make sure that Nicole knows how much we love her, because she's definitely going to listen to this podcast and find out that way. So we'll be back next week. That was my long way of saying that.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. So until then, you can, of course, be following these two guys on Twitter at Matt Ligori and at Brian_Scally. If you didn't hate me, I am on Twitter at Colin Stone. And they will be back next week to wrap up everything going on in episode 7. And beyond that, in the event that they stay unfired, we'll see how that goes. Thank you guys who have made it this far. We will talk to you very soon. Take care, everybody.